Hello and welcome to this week's Journalism.co.uk podcast. I'm Madalina Chobanu, and today we'll be hearing from CNN and the Washington Post about two of their experiments with audio storytelling and how they've used voicemail as a tool to crowdsource stories and connect with their audiences.
Please leave a message.
Many of us will find it sound familiar. It's something we're asked perhaps several times a day, whether we're hoping to reach a friend, a colleague, or a business contact at the other end of the line. A quick online search on voicemail usage will show a mix of results. Nowadays, people, particularly the younger generation, would rather text than leave a voicemail because they think it's more efficient and requires less preparation. But what about using voicemail to bring people together and give them a space to share their stories? At CNN, Director of Social Publishing Ashley Kodiani and Masuma Ahuja, a producer on the social team, recently launched a storytelling experiment called Love Story. For the past couple of weeks, in the run-up to Valentine's Day, the project has been asking people to call a number and leave a voicemail sharing their love stories. The recordings are then uploaded to SoundCloud and shared on the Love Story Twitter account anonymously, often accompanied by quote cards.
We were sitting in the same room we're in right now, Ashley and me, talking about like the epic love stories we've heard from our friends and our families, and it was very much the idea of hearing someone tell their story that stuck with both of us, and so this seemed like a natural way to capture that emotion was to hear people tell their stories.
When you do it over voicemail and it's audio, it's really intimate and personal, but it's also not as terrifying or, I guess, you know, doesn't put the same amount of spotlight as somebody if it were in video. What I've experienced, this is my first time working with audio and gathering voicemails, but it's people are so much more revealing because you don't see their face. And they're sort of given this open window to talk about themselves and their feelings. And as their conversations continue and as their voicemails continue, it's almost turned into like therapy.
It's like weirdly confessional, right? Because you have a captive audience. You know that the person on the other side is going to be listening. And especially now, you know, because we're posting these stories. But also there's no judgment in that moment. Like you don't see someone's face responding to you. You don't feel like anyone's looking at you. You just know that this is like a space where you can say whatever you want to say. You can tell your story.
And I think it's twofold, right? It's crowdsourcing and being able to tell a story differently. And it's also something that's very personal and emotional and gives our audience a way to relate to other humans. And I think that that is a little different for CNN, so it's kind of exciting that we're able to do it and tell stories in these different ways.
If you're feeling curious by this point, listen on for an example of a voicemail submitted to Love Story, courtesy of CNN.
I was in Stockholm for the very first time about a year ago, visiting some friends for Christmas. And I was walking down the street in Gamlestan, the old city center. It was Christmas Day. It got dark there very early, and I saw this beautiful girl walking ahead of me. And she walked into this coffee shop, and I kept on going because I wanted to journal. I was sort of in a bad mood. But after about 5 minutes of walking, it was really cold out. It was dark. I hadn't found another good coffee shop, so I turned around to go back in where I saw she had entered. It just so happens that there was only one table open, and it happened to be the table next to her. So I took out my journal, and I was writing. And after about 30 minutes of me writing and her reading, I said something to her, and we started talking, and one thing leads to another, and we end up spending the next few hours talking together, and the next few days, and we went ice skating, and we walked through and explored all the museums we could, and we took photographs together, and I met her family. She's French. I'm from the United States, from Michigan, and Amelie is from Lyon, and she was studying translation, so she spoke really good English, but her family hardly spoke at all. And so I was at lunch with them, and she was translating. We were laughing, and generally just had a wonderful time. And this one night, I was walking her back to her hotel, and it was late. It was about 2:30 in the morning. The snow was coming down, the light sort of beaming on us. It was perfect. The streets in Stockholm were empty and quiet and majestic, and I gave her this little gift, this this like flannel shirt that she had seen that she had wanted. And I gave her a kiss on the cheek and said goodnight to her. And I turned around. I was walking across the street when I heard someone sort of scurrying after me. We were the only ones on the street. It's really late. And she turns around, she's sort of huffing and puffing, and she's like, you know, Michael, I know this is crazy, and I've only known you for a few days, but I'm in love with you, and you just needed to know. And this is after a few days of just ceaseless time together. And I just smiled, and I said that I was in love with her, too. And I gave her a kiss, and we just stood there hugging and looking at each other. It was a very special moment, and we ended up dating long distance thereafter.
The team started spreading the message about the project by distributing flyers around the United States whenever possible, in places like Iowa, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Atlanta, Washington, D.C., and New York, to get the conversation going. Now more and more people are getting involved, either by leaving voicemails themselves or sharing the project on social platforms. Love Story will continue to run throughout 2016, and a selection of voicemails, together with video animations and other visual elements, will be showcased through an interactive on CNN.com.
I think mostly people are just really moved by the stories they're hearing. There's a little bit of surprise that CNN is looking for these stories and these human stories, and we're telling them, but people are seeing that we're kind of consistently telling compelling stories, and I see a lot of emotion around what we're doing, and I see people retweeting us and telling us they're like weeping at their desks and listening to these. And at my desk, we have like group voicemail listens where all my colleagues like sit around and listen to these voicemails and we all get emotional together. So I think that people are really responding well to this.
Overall on social, it's people are really connecting with them. And sure, it's different and it's new and it's exciting that we're doing something like this. But I think the best part about the project is how it's really bringing an online community together. I mean, people are, sure, they're tweeting at us and they're talking about the love story, and that's wonderful, but you'll go into other places in social, on Facebook, where people are talking about this. And we've seen it emerge in other groups, and we've seen it emerge in other pockets in Twitter. And I think there's a real connectivity because of the emotion of the topic. It's been really nice to see an online community sort of emerge out of it.
There's so much happening and so much noise in the internet, and like we can all connect to this, we can all feel this, and there's something intimate and personal and like, hey, I totally get this, I feel this way. It's nice to like stop and take a listen.
Ahuja also helped launch a similar experiment at the Washington Post in 2014, together with Julia Carpenter, who works on the Post's digital audience team. They came up with the idea for This Year I Learned after coming across Call Me Ishmael, a project collecting voicemails from people who shared thoughts about their favorite books. Carpenter has since continued to run the project, collecting voicemails from people on a dedicated Tumblr blog.
We have been thinking about ways to try and do something similar at work, ways to tap into that same feeling of intimacy and connection. So we were thinking about end-of-year projects, New Year's Eve, holiday season projects, something that wasn't a cheesy or hokey, but instead spoke to this larger feeling that we had felt so strongly listening to these other voicemails. And so we came up with the idea for This Year I Learned, which was more about reflection and introspection at a time when we kind of celebrate that. What we had originally done was we ran it for the holiday season from Thanksgiving until New Year's, beginning of January. And then we experimented with doing monthly themes into about April of last year and decided instead we were getting fewer messages. We wanted to keep the idea more about what we had specified in the project title, This Year I Learned. So we then decided to shutter it and then reopen it again this year for the holiday season and keep it as an annual project.
In the audio excerpt that follows, provided by the Washington Post, a reader left a voicemail sharing some of her milestones and lessons learned in 2015.
Hi, my name is Patricia Fredrickson, and I think that this year's probably been the year I finally stood on my own two feet. I think that as a society, we're pushed so hard to like partner up and get married and have 2.5 kids and a white picket fence. But it's so important to learn who you are without anybody else telling you or coloring your opinions. And it's absolutely critical to get by as a functioning adult, and I think that's what really hit home for me this year. I went through the most painful breakup I've ever gone through in 2014, and I remember so vividly standing in the aisle of my local grocery store about a week into the aftermath, absolutely sobbing because I couldn't remember my own preference for oatmeal. I remembered what he liked, but I didn't remember what I liked and what about me. And even something that simple just was so stark to me. I felt like I'd been run through with a sword. I couldn't separate my own tastes and opinions from those others had thrust upon me over the course of our relationship. So I want to say that you don't need rose-colored Leave It to Beaver lives. You need self-satisfaction and the knowledge that you're being the best you can be. And you can get that single, married, divorced, widowed, anything. So for 2015, I just want everybody to know, don't let a ring or a person define your life. Let you do it yourself. Thanks.
But why are voicemails more suitable than, say, voice memos to connect with the audience?
Practically, there are some advantages in that when you leave a voicemail, there is a prompt before you leave a voicemail instead of just recording a voice memo or sending something into the void. You call a number, it rings, you hear the prompt has specific directions, also just reminders, things like, you know, we will maybe be using this audio on Washington Post social channels, maybe specific prompts telling you what to target your response to or particular questions or points to reflect on before you leave a message. But it's also just a really familiar behavior. People are used to leaving voicemails. People are used to dialing a number, waiting, composing themselves before they do that. And so we wanted to tap into kind of that familiarity. You see people sharing the same sentiments or the same lessons over and over, which I think speaks to kind of like a universal expression in that way. You know, we get tons of stories that tell people to live in the moment, to not pass up chances, to not wait to do things that they want to do. We get tons of voicemails that urge people to try new things and break out of their comfort zones, to move across the country or to quit their job. We get tons of voicemails telling people to reconnect to family, to reach out to friends, to not lose the importance of those connections. We get a lot of voicemails about the power of creativity and the power of seeking inspiration. So it's actually been remarkably similar. I think both years we've done it, we get a lot of the same messages and the same things that people have learned.
Would you leave a voicemail, anonymous or otherwise, to tell your story? Let us know what you think in the comments, tweet us at journalismnews, or leave a voicemail. Thanks for listening to this journalism.co.uk podcast.